I'm sure you have had a number of patients present to your office who are adults with class 2 malocclusions and larger than average anteroposterior skeletal discrepancies. These patients present a problem for the orthodontist because many times they can be treated either by orthodontics alone or with combined surgical orthodontic treatment. If you had a patient like this to whom you presented two alternative treatment plans, that is orthodontics alone or surgical orthodontic treatment, and the patient asked you to describe the advantages and disadvantages of each approach, how would you respond? An article titled Long-Term Follow-Up of Class 2 Adults Treated with Orthodontic Camouflage, A Comparison with Orthodontic Surgery Outcomes by Colin Mihalik et al., which appeared in the March 2003 issue of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics, addressed this question. In this study, the researchers, who are from the University of North Carolina, evaluated a sample of 31 adult patients who had been treated with orthodontics alone for the correction of class 2 malocclusions. The average length of time since the end of orthodontic treatment was 12 years. Cephalometric radiographs, models, and three questionnaires were used to compare long-term stability and satisfaction with treatment for this group versus a group of patients who had been treated surgically for the correction of their class 2 malocclusions. The surgery patients included patients who had maxillary impaction, mandibular advancement, or combined two jaw surgery. The group that was treated with orthodontics alone was referred to as the camouflage group. What the authors found was interesting. The cephalometric data for the camouflage patients showed almost no long-term relapse changes except for overbite. Overjet was stable for the orthodontic-only group, but showed an increase of 10% in the two-jaw surgery patients, 15% in the maxillary impaction group, and 20% in the mandibular advancement group. In the camouflage group, small mean changes in skeletal landmark positions occurred in the long term, but the changes were generally smaller than in the surgery patients. The patients' perceptions of outcomes of treatment were highly positive for both the orthodontic-only and the surgical groups. Although both groups had similar reports of overall satisfaction with treatment, patients who had mandibular advancements were significantly more positive about their dental facial images. Also, the orthodontics-only patients reported fewer functional or temporomandibular joint problems than did the surgery patients. The bottom line of this study is that there was not a whole lot of difference in stability of results or satisfaction with treatment when the two groups of patients were compared. When I first saw the article, I was a little confused about the term camouflage treatment. This term was initially used in the early 70s related to surgical orthodontic patients who had deficient mandibles but were treated with a combination of maxillary anterior osteotomy and a genioplasty advancement to avoid the risks of greater instability which had occurred with mandibular advancements at that time. In this article, the authors appear to be referring to simply making dental compensations for larger than average anteroposterior skeletal discrepancies. The other thing that was a little bit confusing was that in their discussion, the authors noted that the ideal patient for camouflage treatment should have reasonable facial aesthetics with overjet created more by maxillary incisor protrusion than mandibular retrusion. I certainly agree that patients who have maxillary incisor protrusion are much better candidates for orthodontic treatment alone because maxillary protrusion is a dental versus a skeletal problem. However, patients who present a more difficult diagnostic challenge are those who have large skeletal discrepancies and normal to upright maxillary incisors, but who can be treated with orthodontics alone by making more severe dental compensations for the underlying skeletal problem. I believe it would be fair, based on the results of this study, to suggest to the patient that I initially described that they are likely to be satisfied with either form of treatment and that their decision should be based primarily on their aesthetic concerns. I congratulate the authors for having obtained these long-term records so that a more informed decision about the results of treatment can be made. You can find this article in the March 2003 issue of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics.